Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. This is Jason Troyer filling in for Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Well, today is the day, Thursday, the 2nd of July in the year of our Lord, 2009. Today is the day that Colorado Personhood Initiative is handing in the language to the Secretary of State to get personhood on the ballot once again in Colorado. So why do it again? Because at least we're fighting a principled battle today. We have the opportunity to share with people the truth of what abortion is and the truth of what an unborn child is right from the moment of fertilization. And so let me read from a press release that was put out by Colorado Right to Life, Personhood USA, and all those organizations that are involved in the personhood movement this year in Denver. So reading from the press release, over 500,000 Coloradans voted for personhood in 2008. Their votes acknowledged the God-given right to life of the preborn and revolutionized the pro-life movement, and they encourage us towards victory, says Gualberto Garcia Jones, one of the initiative's sponsors. Personhood USA's volunteers plan to work around the clock to keep the momentum going in order to ensure that all humans are protected in Colorado. I don't know if you listening were involved in the campaign last year, but working around the clock is not hyperbole. There were nights where we worked around the clock to, as best we could, defend the rights of those who couldn't fight for themselves. Continuing with the press release, the initiative has been endorsed by eminent Georgetown University medical ethicist Dr. Diane Irving. Once approved by the Secretary of State, grassroots volunteers will begin collecting signatures to place the initiative on the 2010 ballot. In 2008, our state's personhood initiative demonstrated an unparalleled grassroots effort, with more signatures gathered by volunteers than any other ballot initiative in the state's history, and 1,300 petition circulators, says Leslie Hanks, the 2010 co-sponsor and longtime vice president of Colorado Right to Life. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby. It's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby. Is that so complicated that people get so up in arms when somebody says abortion is wrong because it's a baby? It's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby. That's simple. Everybody should read that, acknowledge the truth in that saying, and say, yeah, I agree with that. That's absolute common sense. But, of course, we have liberals in the world, and common sense bounces off them like Superman. So we put out a press release a few days ago about what we are going to do today to take that to the Secretary of State's office to get the wording in. And so there's already comment about it. There are already people that are upset that we're going to be doing this again. And just to let you know, we'll do it again and again and again as long as it takes to restore the rights of unborn children. In the slavery movement, they fought for 200 years to restore the rights of a person standing right there in front of them. These babies are harder to see, and they can't speak for themselves. So this may be a long battle. And God doesn't say that the battle will be quick, but we need to fight a principled battle. And we will do that as long as I live, and as long as you live, I hope you steadfastly defend the rights of the unborn child. But I want to read you some of the comments that I've seen on blogs and on comments to newspaper articles that have already gone out. So titled, "They Hate Women." Every dollar spent to fight this initiative is a dollar that could be used to promote the health and well-being of women of reproductive age. And I completely agree with that. Every dollar spent to fight this initiative is a dollar that could be used to promote the health and well-being of women of reproductive age. Well, what promotes the health and well-being of women of reproductive age more than the truth? And if they hurt themselves and hurt their child, does that promote their health and well-being? Of course it doesn't. And so while this person was trying to be offensive and trying to make a point, he doesn't see the truth that's staring him right in the face. Another comment that on this blog, ColoradoPolls.com, did a story on it from this article comments afterwards, was just so offensive to me, because if you take this same argument back 200 years and replace some of the words, you see how evil and wicked it is. If proponents' aim is to outlaw abortion, then let them propose such an initiative. All right, great so far. Personhood would needlessly insert the government, courts, and lawyers into the personal, private relationship between farmers and slaves. Now, I added that. But when you see that that's what the argument is, it shows the stupidity of the argument. It would impact everything from the price of cotton to voting to housing in manual labor age men. And of course, it certainly would. Now, what they actually wrote is it would impact everything from birth control to infertility to cancer treatment in reproductive age women. And don't we want to help reproductive age women? The truth will help. So continuing with their quote that I've modified, it will require the pro-choice side to once again fundraise millions of dollars to defeat it, which could be better spent on preventing unplanned slavery or facilitating hiring willing help. So they're idiots. But there's always going to be people that hate our side. And we can deal with them, but there's one article I want to share with you that when debate fails, you try to run a 70-year-old person over with an SUV. That seems reasonable, doesn't it? From the Chicoer.com, from Chico, California, a man who – and it says allegedly. I mean, it's not allegedly. Come on. A man who used an SUV in an attempt to run over an anti-abortion protester outside a Planned Parenthood office has been charged with assault with a deadly weapon. Matthew Haver, 40, was arrested by Chico police for allegedly trying to hit James Canfield, 69, of Chico. He tried to run over a 70-year-old guy. Canfield, the pro-lifer, moved out of the way and was not seriously injured during the incident, but clearly shaken by the experience, said the police. Officers were able to trace the vehicle to Haver. They then went to the suspect's home on Hooker Oak Avenue, where Haver was taken into custody. But after being taken into custody by the police and taken to their holding facility, Haver reportedly experienced a, quote, medical emergency. As a result of the medical problem, officers didn't hold him, but issued Haver a citation ordering him to appear in Butte County Superior Court at a later date. This guy tries to run over a peaceful pro-lifer with an SUV, and not only just a peaceful pro-lifer, but a 70-year-old peaceful pro-lifer, and they give him a citation because they didn't want to arrest him because of some supposed medical emergency medical situation they were going through. So the police said Canfield is a regular demonstrator at Planned Parenthood and also at the Women's Health Center on First Street. Well, praise the Lord. He is spending his retirement well. He had a large sign with a graphic photo of an aborted baby. And I put baby in there just to be more accurate. You always, when you read newspaper stories, you have to change the words. It's so, you can't even stomach it if you don't change the words. You have to fix their grammar and you have to fix their words. It's disappointing. The investigation revealed that the crazy guy, Haver, had a child with him in the vehicle. And as they drove by the clinic, the child asked what was on the sign. Now, kids have asked me what is on that sign before, and I'm sure there's many parents who bring their kids to the abortion clinic and they say, Mommy, what is on that sign? Or Daddy, what is on that sign? That doesn't cause the parent to go out into a rage and run somebody over with an SUV. I would have heard of that by now. But in this case, this is what happened. So the child asked what was on the sign. The police said that it appeared Haver became enraged over the picture of the aborted baby, lost control of his emotions, not control of the car, but lost control of his emotions and tried to strike Canfield with his vehicle. So not only do the police know that it was this guy, not only do they know that there was another child in the vehicle, another child, because this person was obviously infantile, and they knew that there was a conversation about a specific thing. Yet at the beginning of the story, it says a man who allegedly used an SUV to attempt to run over. Allegedly, they have to. They know the conversation. They know it was the guy. They know there was another kid in the vehicle, but they still have to use the word allegedly. Ugh. It's a tragedy. The Butte County DA has not yet determined when they will drop the charges. So, oh, I guess the article doesn't say that. I just sort of got that from experience of going out there. And, of course, the Chicower.com also has comments about this article. So there's 157 comments so far, and I'm sure that even the rabid pro-choicers out there would stand up for that pro-lifer's right to hold a sign, to share his opinion, to celebrate diversity of thought, to embrace free speech. Well, of course, we know that's not what liberals do. So the first comment that I saw was labeled "too bad." The tragedy is he wasn't successful in running over the dirtbag. That doesn't sound very tolerant of that person. Sounds like they're full of hatred and full of rage, and, well, I guess you sort of have to be to kill an innocent little child or to advocate the killing of an innocent little child. Another comment says, "Stop the ignorance." If Mr. Canfield was a man of morals, as he claims to be, he would have the sign in text only. Why does he want to traumatize small children? Is that his goal? I doubt it. If you want to send a message and not traumatize small children who don't understand, please use words, not offensive graphics. Now, was that Warren Hearn that wrote that? Because that sounds like Warren Hearn. That sounds like an abortionist would say that. Don't use pictures. I only want text. Now, wait a minute. Bob in the studio has "Abortion Practice" by Warren Hearn. Sounds like a good book, as Bob likes to say. Now, let me open up to page 325 in Abortion Practice, the handbook that abortionists use to kill little babies. And under the title "Public Debates and Speaking," on the other hand, schools may make frequent requests to present both sides of the abortion issue to students. We, being the killers, respond to all requests from schools for educational presentations concerning abortion. If the sponsors want both sides presented, and who would want both sides presented? I mean, that's just crazy. You invite the abortionist there. You don't let the other side talk. I deviated from the book. Hold on. Let me continue from the book. If the sponsors want both sides presented, however, the presentations must be made on different occasions. I don't even want to be in the same room as a pro-lifer. I mean, those people are nuts. I'm sorry, I deviated again. I'm sorry. I'll finish with the last line here. We insist that visual aid materials not be presented by either side. That is an abortionist. Now, don't they want information to get out? Don't they want the women to make an informed choice? Of course not. They want to hide what they do. And that's an abortionist for you. So we're done with the Chicower.com. But we do have good news. An invention allows pregnant women to hold models of their unborn babies. Now, this is cool. Pregnant women are being given a chance to hold life-size models of their unborn babies thanks to an invention that converts data from ultrasound and MRI scans. Jorge Lopez, a Brazilian designer, uses 3D printing technology to create plaster models. The technology is being trialed at a clinic in Rio de Janeiro. It's amazing to see the faces of the mothers. They can see the full scale of their baby, really understand the size of it, says Dr. Lopez. A blind woman registered at the clinic has also volunteered to try out the technology at her next scan. Again, this is a wonderful thing. Pro-lifers love truth. Christians love truth. This is truth. This is showing an accurate depiction of a child. And so they take an ultrasound of the baby, they convert that to data, and they can produce a plaster model of an unborn little child for a mother to hold. Professor Campbell is keen to use the technology as the educational tool for expectant parents and to help mothers who have difficulty bonding with their babies. Now, how can you have difficulty bonding with your baby? My wife is 6 months pregnant. She talks about the baby constantly. And I don't mind that at all. She is so bonded to that baby she's never met before. And just imagine if you can hold a little model of your baby in your hand. It's just amazing. So, again, we love truth. And as Christians, we should love truth. God designed this universe. The more we seek out truth, the more we'll find about him. Now, hold on. I'm getting a message from our board op here. Yes, uh-huh. We're tapped into Bob's cell phone? That doesn't seem possible. Let's go and listen into a phone call that Bob recently had with one of the listeners to Bob Enyart Live.
Hi, Bob. I call in all the time.
Hi. Well, thanks for calling.
I know that Focus on the Family has done some wrong to you guys, you know, and I understand they arrested you, and I understand, you know, he's not standing his ground as much. You know, God does say that one of the things he hates the most is brother against brother. You know, he hates that with a passion, and Proverbs 6. I'm just wondering, you know, Christian calls in, and you're putting down Focus on the Family, even though, you know, he says some wrong. I think that might turn them off.
Of course it might. Of course, that's true. So does that mean that because it's equally hurtful to Christian leaders when you don't hold them to account? You know, right. So you're being cruel to somebody. You're being mean to the young Christian who hears there's a problem, or you're being mean, let's say, to Caiaphas. You know, Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest, in the New Testament, Caiaphas is the high priest.
Okay, yeah.
Who asked for Jesus to be crucified.
Okay.
And remember, Jesus and the apostles would sort of blast the religious leaders, like the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And with the prophets, a lot of their criticism was against the religious leaders. In fact, the religiously, you know, when you go through the Bible and you see where does the Bible compliment people who are leaders and where does it criticize them?
Right.
What do you think is the overwhelming?
Well, criticizing them, of course.
Right. And is that in love or in hatred?
Well, it can be love. It's just it could be also, you know, I don't want this religion because they can't even get along. You know what I mean? And, you know, you're...
Right. So how do you decide?
The lady that I just talked to said something that, you know, he's losing people's salvation, and I don't believe in that.
Oh, no, they are. No, Dr. Dobson, Dr. Dobson is leading people to hell.
I don't understand how...
Okay, I'll give you three ways. He spent 30 years on the air telling people it's okay to send your kids to public schools.
And I did.
And our public schools are the number one godless influence.
I know they are, but you know what, Bob?
Yeah.
I had a choice to send my daughter to a homeschool or public school. My daughter was so founded in Christ that I sent her to the public school. She was the witness of the public school.
Yeah, but you did wrong.
For Christ.
I'm sure I know, of course, you love your daughter.
I didn't send anybody to hell.
No, you did wrong by your daughter. You did wrong by her.
I don't believe that. She made her tougher. She's got to live in this world.
But we don't. Christian parents usually don't evangelize their neighbors and their coworkers, and they send their 11, 12, 13-year-old daughters off to be sexually harassed and intimidated. And even when our kids end up rebelling against God, let's say when they're 12, 13, 14, 15, we don't take them out of the public schools. We leave them there.
Well, mine never rebelled. She was very strong in Christ.
Well, that's really neat. And I went to public school too. But what do you think God would have done to the Israelites if they sent their kids to a Philistine school?
Well, I think that one thing I believe that he said, go out into the world.
Now, that's for you. That's not for your 11-year-old child.
No, she did, though, Mom. People to Christ.
Yeah, but 90% of the Christian kids who go to public school end up having sex, having abortions, getting drunk, doing drugs, believing in evolution.
I don't believe we should hide our kids away.
No,
well, Lana, they are witnesses.
Let me tell you, you are wrong. And what you should be able to do, for the sake of the other people around you that you might influence, you should be able to say that it's wrong for us to give our kids a godless education. We should oppose a godless education. We have an obligation to give our kids a Christ-centered education, either in Christian school or in homeschooling.
Well, I've heard a lot of girls wrong in Christian schools, too.
Of course it does.
So you take a chance everywhere, Bob.
Yeah, well, that's...
You know, I'm not trying to just go around in circles, but my daughter's 21 now.
Yeah.
She went through the public schools, and she went through witnessing about God. She's married now. She's happy. She's a Christian woman.
Well, I'm glad to hear all that, but if you use that, if you give other parents a false sense of security that because of your daughter, they could ignore God's commands in His Word. God doesn't tell us it's okay to give our kids a godless education. God doesn't say, take your children and put them into the hands of those who hate me and give them for 30 hours a week to those who will teach them sexual immorality, abortion, homosexuality, evolution. Millions of kids get destroyed through their godless education. Do you know that millions of kids get destroyed from our godless public schools? Do you know that?
And some from Christian schools. I know that, too.
Yeah, well...
Some kids are destroyed by their own parents for homeschooling. You know what I mean? And they don't ever get to hear about Christ or get to live a normal life because they're so stuck in a cave. And here's what my
wife and I do to be mature when we have a disagreement. When somebody brings up an issue, we don't bring up a different issue. Okay, if my wife says to me she's mad because I didn't take out the trash, I don't say, well, you didn't wash the dishes yesterday, because that's immature. Did you follow that?
Right.
So when we're talking about the godless public schools, okay?
Well, I wasn't talking about
now,
public schools
when
in the
we,
first place.
Now,
you brought it.
I know, I am. And so I'd like you to be mature and not talk about bad parents, because there are bad parents. But just because there are bad parents doesn't mean we should advocate godless parents. And just because there are bad schools doesn't mean we should be a defender of the officially godless school system that destroys millions of kids a year, millions of kids. And so what you're doing to cover up for your own poor decision with your daughter, you are giving other parents a false sense of security. You could send your child where they will encourage her to have sex, have an abortion, be a lesbian, believe in evolution, be an atheist, for all we care. You could get drunk, and you could do that to your daughter because I did, and my daughter ended up just fine. And that kind of influence on your neighbors is cruel. You need to rethink that in humility and be able
to... What if God calls them to go to a public school?
No, that's not true. God doesn't call 7- and 8-year-old kids to be missionaries.
I'm not talking about
your daughter was in the public school system at 8 years of age, and 9, and 10, and 11, and 13, and 15, and the Christian daughters who are having sex with 3, 4, 5, 6 people by the time they're 17... They're there to be salt and light. That's what their parents say to themselves. And that is not a biblical principle. You are to be the missionary to your neighbors. And I would dare say that you did far less than you expected your daughter to do at her public school. As far as witnessing to your neighbors, your boss, your coworkers. And so we use this excuse, so I'm sending my child as a missionary to the mission field. And when they ask her for sex, I'm hoping she'll lead them to the Lord. That is very destructive.
So Well, your kids are going to have to go out to the world sometime.
Of course they do, but that's what parenting is about. Parenting is about sheltering and preparing them, not to send them out in the world when they're 11 years old to a godless system that chews up and spits out most of them.
So you're guaranteeing these people 100% that if they send them, are they homeschooling, that they're going to go out in the world and do perfect things?
No, of course not. No, but when you send them to a godless school system that is officially godless, you know that they're going to have 13 years of godless, sexually immoral influence in their lives, the years that you were supposed to shelter them.
Whatever happened to trusting God?
That's almost evil that you say that.
No, it's not.
It's almost evil.
God with my daughter.
Here's what you did wrong. You did wrong to your daughter. Whatever sexual immorality she was involved with through those years, it was your fault. It was your fault. And other families will do the same to their daughter, but you have the chance to warn them. And we've encouraged hundreds of families who then pulled their kids out of the godless public schools, and they homeschooled them.
Well, I guess God's going to have to talk to my heart because I still disagree and...
Yeah.
Well, disagree with
if you're
you.
Open
I know
to
that James Dobson has been, you know, I know that he could be a better man, but I also know he leads a lot of people to the Lord.
Oh, he does. And when he says that they don't oppose a homosexual on the U.S. Supreme Court, he's sending people to hell because he's making it sound like homosexuality is tolerable, it's acceptable, that it's not a perversion, it's not an abomination.
Well, aren't we supposed to just pray for those people instead of putting them down?
No, you're so confused. You are so confused. What did John the Baptist do? Did he just keep his mouth shut and pray for Herod? Or did he publicly rebuke him? And
we're going to have to pray about it, Bob.
Well, last thing, what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? Do you remember how Jesus applauded John the Baptist?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. Of all the men born to women, there is none greater than John the Baptist.
Right. But he also said to love your neighbors.
Of course. But, Lana, you would have rebuked John the Baptist because he publicly confronted incest and adultery.
I agree with you that James Dobson didn't do the right thing. But are we all 100% perfect?
I'm talking about you. You would have rebuked John the Baptist for doing what he did that Jesus said he was the greatest. And you would have rebuked him for what he did. So your antenna of right and wrong is broken. It's broken. I think you would have rebuked most of the prophets when you heard them confronting the wicked leaders around them. You would have rebuked them.
Well, I'll pray about it, Bob.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Would Lana rebuke the prophets of old? I think she would. She is unfortunately confused. And we here at Bob Benyart Live, we want to stop that confusion. We want to shine the light of the gospel, shine the light of truth into people's lives so that they can analyze current events and see what God would have us do. So, we're out of time. Remember, do right.